basically, I'm going to read now from the Ari, just to making sure that we understand what's going on. The Rosh HaElyon של הקו נמשך מן האינסוף עצמו ונוגע בו, אמנם הסיום הקו הזה למטה בסופו אינו נוגע באור אינסוף. It says that that line that we were talking about in the last few weeks is coming from the endless and it's touching it, but the end of that line is not touching the light of the endless. Of course, we're talking about the codes. I mean, what is a line? What is a circle? ודרך הקו הזה נמשך ונפשט אור אינסוף למטה. Through this line, the endless light was spread below. ובמקום החלל ההוא הציל וברא. And within that space it was created. הציל וברא. The creator emanated. וברא and created. ויצר and form. ועשה and made. כל העולמות כולם. All those universes. So we need to understand it. Of course, we're using words which are basically metaphor, and it's there is secret with everything. And last week we start covering the idea of the line, because line means beginning and end. So it's a consciousness, it's an awareness of beginning and end. Where circle meaning no beginning, no end. After the tzimtzum, after the contraction, after that everything start shifting. And remember, the whole idea of the Tzimtzum happened because the Bchina Dalet want to decorate itself. What does that mean, decorate itself? Decorate itself with something new. But what was the Bchina Dalet? What was the fourth phase to begin with? The fourth phase was desire. But that desire, I want, revealed itself as something different than the light after when? After the contraction, after the Tzimtzum. Before the Tzimtzum, it was not making a difference. Because when things are fulfilled, you don't see any difference. When you see a difference, when you're not fulfilled. Three people are not fulfilled, three of them look different. Three people that are fulfilled look the same. They're all happy. That's why separation comes from not having fulfillment to the people. Unity comes when all people got what they want. And that's why in Tu B'Av, 15th day of Av, which is the day of love. What is it written about this day? That the girls of Israel, it's written in the Talmud, was going in a vineyard with white clothing that they borrow. And they say why they work with white clothing. Kedeh shelo levayesh et mi she'en lo. So they wouldn't make ashamed somebody who don't have white clothing. So they all have white clothing, so everybody is the same. It's like the school in the old days, the school, elementary, I don't know if they're still doing it, or high school, everybody has to dress the same. I don't know if you remember that. Is it still the same?
Yeah.
Still? Okay, everybody dressing the same, dressing code the same. It's the idea that the rich and the poor will be equal. So the time that the Tzimtzum took a place, when the contraction took a place, what happened is the revelation of the differences happen. That's what the Tzimtzum. The revelation of the difference. Now, why did the Tzimtzum happen? I mean, what's the Tzimtzum? What's the purpose of the Tzimtzum? Very simple. The Tzimtzum, the Bchina Dalet, the fourth phase, want to act like the light. But they cannot. You're not the light. It's very nice. You want to make a very noble behavior and very noble nice thing, but your purpose was never to actually give. Your purpose was to receive, to begin with. That was your purpose. That's what you've been created for. So at that moment that you say, I don't want light, what has been revealed is basically nothing, because you say, I don't want light. En kfiya baruchani, meaning there's no coercion in spirituality. Nobody can force you to love. Nobody can force you to get. So the light now is no longer can come to you, not because the light doesn't want to come. The light keep pushing in. But you cannot receive it because you say no to the light because you want to create a better you. Now, to create a better you, on the way to become a better you, it's going to be nothing, not you. You got to lose yourself before you discover yourself. So what happened? The light can never stop. coming into the container, into the vessel. So the light now coming in a form of line. It's not a form of circle, it's a form of line. What does that mean in the form of line? Less light. Is that mean the light being affected by that? Never. Because the creator, God, never been affected by anything that is happening by choice, because the God is giving all the time, regardless if you want or not. The flow of wonderful energy toward you will never stop. Whatever you're experiencing it or not, that's really the choice. That's really the choice. If a person chooses to be depressed, it's because they choose to be depressed. It's not because they have a bad event. If a person chooses to be miserable, it's because they choose to be miserable, not because they went to a miserable time. If a person chooses to have a bad day, it's because they choose to have a bad day, not because they're having a bad day. It's very important to understand it. Because from the light point of view, the light will never stop. The money will never stop. The health will never stop. The goodness will never stop. So why are we experiencing bad time? Because we experience bad time. We choose to experience a bad time. It's a choice. If nothing more than a choice. Nothing more than a choice. So if you go back to Genesis, which will make it more clear, you will understand in Genesis what it's written. That the snake introduced Adam and Eve to something called tree of knowledge, good and bad. Before that was not good and bad. It was just good. So why the experience now good or bad, good and bad? Most of the time you experience good, so later on you will feel bad. The, all this universe is about the differences of ups and downs. The snake is smart. The snake is sneaky. It will introduce you to the good so it can crush you later on. Every time the things seem good, you should be very worried. Everything things seem bad, you should celebrate. Good things not always coming from God. Bad things definitely coming from God. Remember these rules. When you have a bad time, it's a gift. When you have a good time, somebody is fooling you, most probably. Now, once you pass that test, it's always good. Then nobody needs to fool you anymore. You're already on top of your game. I mean, you lose money, great. Now I can show everybody I can make money. You know, somebody sent me it's not belong to the video, but it is. There is a comedian named Louis C.K., I think that's his name. Yeah. I think it's funny. So he talk about all kind of things. I don't want to mention what he's talking about. So, you know, it's not cool. You know, but the funny part, if we're thinking about it, that a little bit of what he mentioned, you know, it's we need to get into an idea of understanding that earning is the name of the game. So he mentioned that what he wants is his hair to grow. If his hair will grow, he's ready to give all his money away to the beggar, and then he will be just fine. And the guy will ask him, what are you going to do? He said, don't worry, I know my business. I know how to make money. I know how to make money. And then he said, it's very smart. He said, this beggar, if I give him all my money, eventually he will be broke and he will lose his hair. You know? And I get, so it's kind of funny. The reason I find it funny and serious at the same time is because if you know what you're doing, nothing distracts you. If you don't know what you're doing, everything distracts you. Remember this rule. If you know what you're doing in that area that you're good at, what can distract you? Nothing. Zero distraction. But if you don't know what you're doing, every little thing bothers you. Right? Every little thing bothers you. Right? If I go take a dancing lesson, which I have no idea, nothing about dancing, nothing, zero. Zero about dancing. Maybe because my father was professional, you know, he danced every dance in the book, and he warned me on Shabbat, instead of praying, he used to make me practice the move, the tap dance, he wanted me to do the feet, and how to make the, you know, in tap dance, there is a move from one line to go to the other line. So that's what he did with me every Shabbat. That's, since I'm young, that's why I'm blocking anything in dance and me don't go together. So if I'm going into a dancing school, which I'm considered to do that with Debbie, really to go there and learn how to do a different type of dance, which I'm very nervous, to be honest with you, very nervous. But I consider that in the last 3 months. Still, because I'm not good at it, everything bothers me. I'm checking the teacher. I don't think that's my type. No good. the place, the air condition doesn't work. All of a sudden, all kind of blockages. But when you know what you're doing, you know. So let's talk about the light. When the light flows toward you, the money is always yours, in your pocket. The love is in your pocket. Everything is in your pocket. You cannot approach life like you don't have. God already gave you what you want. You're not maybe revealing it. So your approach cannot be, I don't have. Your approach is, I have and I want to share what I have with everything you do. I have already what I wanted in my life. Now let me share it. That by itself, when I'm going to start teaching you meditation, I don't know if I will do it on Thursday or Monday, it will be a deep meditation from Rabbi Avraham Abulafia, the Ari and the Zohar. I'm going to teach you how to get into yourself to discover you and then understand you can only think sharing. Only. That will change everything. What happened here in the line now, it's the basically a limited amount of light that's coming toward the container, the vessel, the receiver. Why is that? Because the receiver said, I don't want to receive. And because there is no coercion in spirituality, which means you cannot force somebody to receive more than what they want in spirituality, you're going to get exactly what you're looking for. Your life right now, in this moment, in this second, look exactly how you want your life to look like. I know some of you don't believe it, but I'm telling you, exactly how you want it. What we need to change is to stop being afraid of to want more. You know, I have a person I'm working with, and I'm sure he's going to hear this video. He will be angry with me, but I'm not saying any name. So he asked me, how do I increase the desire for money? So I'm coaching his company and I'm coaching him. How do I increase more desire to make money? I say, I did it with 3 companies. If you're ready, I can start with you. Tell me when. So I want to start now. It's very impulsive. So you want to start now. All right. Make your wallet disappear. Make your phone disappear. Car keys, everything. You're empty. I want you to run on empty at least for the next 8 hours of your job. Say, are you serious? Say, I'm serious. Nothing. You got nothing. And in the end of the day, I want you to write a report. How did you survive? He wrote to me just, he said, oh my God, it was a crazy day. He had to figure out how to drive, how to get out of the office, how to use the phone of somebody else. Like he has nothing. And why did I do it to him? Because sometimes when you fulfill, your desire is fulfilled, you no longer have a desire. The worst nightmare of people who are making it in life is they no longer want. So whatever they have has no value. You have no value to think you already have. You don't have a value for that. You don't. How many times you look into your thumb and say, oh my God, thumb? Take your thumb. Thank you so much. Oh my God, I love you. This so nice. Without your thumb, you cannot do a lot of things. I don't know if you know. Thumb. Simple thing. Thumb. This is just that. All day long. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We don't even see things. So when the line starts coming into the container, it's amount of light which is limited because we don't want. If you, in your potential, are supposed to have private jet with $1 billion to your account, it's scary. It's really scary. If you start deep, deep thinking about it, if your container, your vessel is not big enough to receive it, it will scare you. You'll be afraid, by the way. Try it. You'll start feeling like, well, I'm not sure I need it. Where do I park the plane? What do I do? I don't know which pilot to choose. I don't know about playing a lot. I don't want. Maybe it's too much. Take the gift back. We are limited in what we want. We think we want, but we're limited. If a person is, I'm just giving materialistic thing, or people want to be the perfect husband or the perfect wife, right? Do you really want a perfect person next to you? Do you really want? It's a question. Because once you have a perfect thing, maybe you start feeling bad about yourself. You know? You have no idea how many people I work with and how many of the people, it's not that they don't get what they want. They're afraid of what they can have. And that blockage has to be removed. And we learn it from here. From the line, the amount of light that came to the container said, I don't want. So the light said, I have to give. This can never stop. But I will give you a little bit. That's what happened. And that's how this universe came about. This universe came about with less light. Because more physicality will be revealed wherever there is less light. More light there is, less physicality will be revealed. So everything that comes to fruition, to existence, to manifestation, is because the light is less. Wherever there is less light, there is more physicality. Wherever there is less physicality, there is more light. So Rav Ashtag talk about it. It says, "Kibchina alef, she'arosh alion yakova biyoter la'ensof." If we divided the desire by four categories, like you already know, I'm sure, there is four categories of desire. It's called four phases. Arba pchinot. Four phases, like the four letters of the Hebrew name of God. Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. So it's four phases, four levels of desire. Pchina Aleph, the first level of that desire, it's called Rosh HaElyon, the upper head. This is the closest thing to the endless. Makes sense. Why is the closest thing to the endless? Because there is a least amount of desire. The least amount of desire is the closest thing to the light. Now, why is that? Because the light has no desire. So when something has a desire, it's further away from the light. When something has no desire, it's closest to the light. Klomar l'ma'atzil, to the emanator. V'alken nechshevet kmo sheno gad bo. And that's what it said, that the line almost touch it. כי אין הפרש של שינוי צורת בחינה א' נקרא כל כך עד להפרידו מהמעציל. The בחינה א', the first phase, is almost the same as the emanator, as the light. The fourth phase, which is called למטה בסופו, as we read from the Ari, something which is in the end of the line, or the bottom of the line, it doesn't talk about bottom or up, it's talk about spiritual language. And when we talk about spiritual language, the bottom means something else. The bottom means Pchina Dalet, the fourth phase. She'i rechoka yoter. It's further away from everybody. Betachtona yoter. She'ena mekabelet ata et haor elyon v'nitza she'ena nogat baor en sof l'enfred emano. Now, the Pchina Dalet, which is the strongest desire in the vessel, in the container, don't receive any light. Why? Because now, after the Tzimtzum, after the contraction, there is a revelation. There is a revelation of different levels of desire. Whatever is the strongest desire cannot be connected to the light. Whatever has the least amount of desire, it's next to the light. So there is a paradox, big paradox. Before the Tzimtzum, before the contraction took a place, in the endless, in the circular consciousness, whatever has the strongest desire was full of light. Whatever has the least amount of desire, a little bit of light. But now, there is a paradox. Because now what happened? What is the Tzimtzum? What is the contraction? Is basically the light has been gone from the container. So the container now revealed. What is more similar to the light? Is it the strongest desire? Or is the least amount of desire. The least amount of desire is closest to the light. Why? Because it doesn't want. When something doesn't want, it's next to the light because the light doesn't want also to receive. So from here we learn that something which is fulfilled looks different than something which is empty. When do you know the difference between situation? Only when you're running on empty. You wouldn't know when your life is perfect what's going on. You wouldn't know. And that's why it's similar to this. In life, there is either choice you make or either choice made for you. What is choice, I mean? Let's say some people don't like their job. You know? People, let's say, make coffee, right? They make you coffee. I don't know if you ever experienced that, but some people who make you coffee are in a bad mood. You go to a coffee shop. It used to be, let's say, 28 years ago, it used to be only, what the name of that, donuts, Dunkin' Donuts. That's what the coffee, that's it. There's no cafe. You come, you get like, it's a in New York. Round bag, you get this, and that bagel. The cream cheese was not even spread, it was a chunk. I'm joking. It was a quarter of cream cheese between the bagel, coffee, and yalla, shalom aleichem, get out of here. Seriously, that was the thing. And one after another, $1, it was $1. Tick, 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 tick. Today, you go into a coffee, you gotta go to college for that, right? What do you want? They have name for the cup. I never remember the name. Tall or Vente, Schmente, I have no idea. The first time I had to go, I didn't know if it's decaf or regular coffee, skim milk or that milk. You want the big foam, this cup, that size. It's a lot of information. Like you're dying until you get the coffee. You want a coffee, you know? So you get to the place. I get to the place, and the lady is in a bad mood. Yeah, I don't know what happened, but bad mood. What do you want? What I want, to be getting out. So let's be polite and go to that. And say, I want coffee. Okay, what do you want in coffee? So listen, listen, if you're having a bad time, I understand it, but maybe talk to the other worker because I really need good coffee, good energy. I believe that whatever you do, this is like whatever shape, you know? And I was thinking about it after that. And I said, most people don't enjoy their job. They don't. People don't love their job. They hate their job. But the customer has to suffer from that. You know, it's like they feel I'm suffering enough and you have to be welcome into my suffering. Why am I sharing this with you? When do you find people in pain is when they don't have. They don't have. So then you see the difference between you and them. If you are fulfilled, they are not fulfilled. Now the distance is huge. If they will be happy with their situation, they don't have to have the same amount of money, but they will be happy. You are happy, they are happy, everybody's happy. I'll show you another example. My mom. I've been in Israel now, right, for a long time. My mom, my brother-in-law get her an apartment to rent. He get her out of the hood where I grew up. He get her in a very nice area. Amazing area. Unbelievable. So now she lives in an amazing area. So my wife and me happen to be with her alone when she really can talk. And my mom is Gemini, so she can talk if she wants. So she looked, I said, I don't know. They put me in this fancy neighborhood. She's very funny the way she said it with her expression. Everybody's a snobbish here. I can't talk to anybody. I like to talk to simple people. They left me here. I'm feeling like in a cage. She's very funny. A golden cage waiting for something to happen, but nobody say hello in this neighborhood. You know, I want to go back to the neighborhood where you can talk to people. And the reason I was happy to hear that and use it with you tonight, it's not about the physical fulfillment you're going to have. It's about, are you fulfilled? Are you happy? And if you're not happy, of course it will be a difference between you and another person. Of course. So when the line took a place instead of the circle, now you can see the difference between the vessels. So whatever has less amount of desire, it's closer to the light because it seems more fulfilled. So people are different. If your desire is greater than the other three, you will always be miserable because you never get fulfillment. So don't judge people who want more. If your desire is small and you see the other person wanting to be the king, want to be the government, want to be a richer government, famous, great, he has a great desire. Just look at them, are they happy on the way there? That's important. So never judge a person that has the greatest desire because maybe they come from Bechina Dalet. Maybe they come from fourth phase. When you look at other people, there is people without insulting anybody, there is people with no desire. I travel all over the United States and I travel from New York, I used to travel to the Midwest, and I've been everywhere in the Midwest. Some people in the Midwest don't look for a lot of things, by the way. You need to know. If you meet them, they're the nicest people on earth. But it's not, I wouldn't want to be like that. You know, I wouldn't want to talk about the corn and the wheat. You know, oh, the corn this year went pretty well. Let me tell you, we didn't have any rain. We didn't have, I'm bored. And I'm sitting there in dinner, and I'm listening to it. After 1 hour, I'm dying. You know, and this guy is super wealthy. He owns a few basketball teams. And I'm like, my God, this is how I'm going to be there 1 week giving lecture. This is what I'm going to hear. That's tough. So it doesn't mean that he's bad. It doesn't mean that I'm bad. It doesn't mean that I'm better or he's better. And said,
So when they revealed the four phases, it revealed the four level of desire. Nothing is better or worse. As I don't want you to fall into, say, Malchut of the line now is worse than Chokhmah of the line. It's just different desire. The reason Chokhmah is closer to the light in the line is because Chokhmah has less desire. So it's obviously would be closer. So when a person from middle United States, you know, right? I mean, people who live in the middle United States known to have less desire. Or you take somebody from the core of New York. It's very different people. You know, they want something else from life. They want more. So the one who want more can be sometimes miserable because they never get what they want. If your goal is $1 billion, it's very difficult to make it. But if your goal is under 1,000, you have a chance to make it. But 1 billion is a big goal. So you'll be always upset that you never get to that goal. But can you be happy on the way to get there? That type of fulfillment is a happiness. But the other type of fulfillment is materialistic. So if you're looking to be materialistic fulfilled, it's a small desire too. Because the original desire of a human being, happiness. Happiness. If you cannot be happy in every moment, you know, that's what you got to correct. That's what you got to correct. If you don't like your job, correct it. Change it. Find something better. You got to be happy. Life is too short. What are you going to live? Under 90? Under 80? Under 20? So you study college, what? You finish like at 26. Now what? You're going to work for somebody you hate for 2 years? Okay, you suffer enough, 28, right? You're dating somebody that based on your need because you have issue at work and all this. So that's close 30. Now in 30, you got to start living a life. You got to like what you do. 30 to 32, I always tell people, start finding what you like. Because if you don't start at 32, by the age of 50, you will be miserable. You will look at your life and say, what have I done? And that's not good. You have to find something you like and start doing it. Even if it doesn't make you in the beginning so much money. You know? If you talk about the second richest man in the world, Buffett, right? Warren Buffett. So one of the things he said about himself in a video, in an audio, in a book, that he liked what he's doing. He never meant to be rich in his head. He meant to love what he's doing. So he went and he did what he loved doing. And if he happened to be rich, he happened to be rich. But rich should not be the goal. Your goal should supposed to be happy. You know? Supposed to be happy. And many people who tell me, Eliyahu, you really continue teaching? After you left your whole job, you come here and you continue teaching? I say, I love doing it. I love studying and I love teaching. I'm not going to stop doing it. It makes me happy to teach. Am I doing also in my business of coaching? As my private business, of course I do that. I love doing that too. I cannot do something I don't like. I just cannot. I did enough with my life of doing many things I don't like. I suffer. Just look at them. Not me. My purpose is fulfillment and happiness. So when you're four level, you have to check yourself. You have to check, what do you want? What do you want? What do you really want? Because that's exactly where the light of God shines, on the area of your desire. The light of God has a purpose, to fulfill your desire, your dream. Every dream you have needs to be fulfilled. But don't make your dream based on somebody else. Don't make your dream because somebody else says, I want it too. They drive a Ferrari, I want to drive a Ferrari. They have a Rolls Royce, I want to drive a Rolls Royce. I tell my kids the same. They're applying for college. I said, just apply for things that really that's what you want. Not because of the money, not because of the fame. That will make you miserable. It will make you miserable. You got to be happy with you. Now, if you desire more, why not? You desire more money, go ahead. It's already ready for you. Once you desire it and you really want it, it's already there before you desire it. Because the fulfillment comes before the desire. The day that you desire something, that's the day that you woke up to know that God gave it to you already. But you're missing the desire to have it. Is that clear? It's very important. Meaning, let's say, I'm not in the level to desire $1 billion. Even if I had $1 billion, I believe I would change the world. But I don't have yet in me that. I wish I would have. Because if I have this desire, I'm sure it will come to me. And when it will come to me, I will spread children's book and different things to help so many children all over the world. But I need to ignite that desire in me. Okay? My desire is more to teach millions of people, reaching out to more people, guiding people to go in a better direction. I enjoy that. Really enjoy that. I believe that money for me is a tool. It's not a goal. It's a tool. I want to have money. I want to have 100 million, 200 million, and through that to change the world. But I cannot look at it as a goal. I cannot look at myself at the table counting the money I have. I will get bored from that. Like, okay, got it. I understand it. And I've been in everywhere in my life and so many people, home and fancy and schmancy. It's nice. But in the end, whoever know me, have been with me there. After 48 hours, I said, now what? Okay. I have a private vineyard. I have olive to my left. I have a villa. I have two servants making my food every breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Private pool. Very nice, right? Huh? Driver. But I'm not enjoying that. I want to talk to somebody. I want to have intellectual conversation. I want to teach. I want to study. This is what's fulfilling me. Every person has something. Money, if money becomes the goal, I'm worried about it. I might be wrong, but I don't think money should be the goal not just me, any person. Money cannot be the goal. It should be a tool. You should make it as a goal, but then turn it into a tool. What do you want to do with the money? What would you do with that? What do you want to do with the money? You have 1 billion. What are you going to do with this? If you don't have a plan, don't ask for it. It's stupid because that's not your real desire. If you have a plan what to do with it, then ask for it. You have to have a plan. What do you do? And don't feel guilty asking for it. God has enough for everybody. There's enough money for every human being. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do? It's something. I teach you another thing tonight about desire. Poor person, don't want to be successful. You need to remember that. Poor people, and I had a discussion with so many of them, like beggars and people who are homeless, they don't want to be rich. They don't want to make it. It's a deep thing. You have to get into it to understand it. So the idea is to get into a place that I'm desiring because I really want it. If you desire it because you really want it, start coming. All right? I think I make it clear. So again, in the line, 4 level of desire. They look different now. After the light is no longer there, now you can see the difference. Now, Chet. רומז בזה לדלת עולמות הנקראים אצילות, בריאה, יצירה ועשייה, שהם כוללים כל העולמות, שהם בפרטיות בלי מספר. בדלת עולמות נמשכים מדלת בחינות הנ"ל, בחינה א' אצילות, בחינה ב' בריאה, בחינה ג' יצירה, בחינה דלת עשייה. We have 4 worlds, 4 universes. The first universe, the first world, is אצילות, the world of emanation. Then second phase, בריאה, the world of action, or creation, I'm sorry, creation. Not action, creation. The third level is the world of Yetzirah, or formation. And the fourth level is Asiyah, the world of action. So it's emanation, creation, formation, and action. This is correlating to the 4 level of desire. If we look at our world where we are in the world of Asiya. This is where we are. We are in the world of Asiya. All the gain that taken the place in the human life is in the world of Asiya. That's where we are. We're stuck here. It's not easy. Because in the world of Asiya, the word Asiya means action. This is where all the action takes place. Why? Because wherever you have the strongest desire, that's where the action takes place. That's what it is. So it says, שנקראים אצילות בריאה יצירה עשייה, אשר הם הכוללים כל העולמות כולם. הנה קודם כל אלו, היינו מטרם צמצום, לא היו דלת בחינות הנפחות בזו למעלה מזו. Before the צמצום, before the contraction, before the light basically I don't want to say the light disappeared from the vessel because it's not what happened. First the desire was gone and then the light was gone. It was no different between those worlds. Emanation, creation, formation, and action was one. After the Tzimtzum, now you can see different level. אלא בסוד האחדות הפשוטה. בלי שום הבדל בין המדרגות בין האור לכלי, אלא בסוד ובשמו אחד. It's a secret. Before the Tzimtzum, before the contraction, it was E and his name are one. E and his name are one, meaning not different between the giver to the receiver. Both of them are in the same page. How can that be? We explained it many, many times. It's like somebody want to give a gold coin to someone and the other receiver don't want to receive it. And the giver said, please do me a favor. I really want to give charity. Can you get it for me? Can you take it for me? And the receiver say, of course, let me take it from you if it makes you feel good. Now the sharer become the giver and the giver become the sharer. So it's called E and his name are one. And that's what used to be in the endless before the contraction, before the Tzimtzum. After the Tzimtzum, now we're seeing a differences between levels. There is a big difference. One level, second level, third level, fourth level. But in the end, as those levels not exist because everything is fulfilled. And this is something that you quite need to remember and need to understand. Because with this understanding, you understand how God think, how the creator think, how the universe was operate. Because from God's point of view, there is no missing of anything. Everything is perfect, everything is fulfilled, and everything is the same. From our point of view, because now the desire has been revealed, so we look at each other differently. We don't look at each other the same. But we are the same when we are fulfilled. We are the same when we are fulfilled. We are not the same when we are empty. The only way you'd see the difference between people, when people go into a problem, when people have chaos in their life, when people have issues in their life. When do you see a couple that are a long time together, that love each other, all of a sudden fighting? What happened? Why are they fighting? Why there is argument? The emptiness of one side was revealed, or the emptiness of two sides was revealed. And once the emptiness was revealed, there is fight, there is problem, because they're no longer the same. When they are doing well, when they're both happy, they're both fulfilled. Everybody in their own way. You know, some people are fulfilled from just looking at the ocean. Some people fulfill just by reading a good joke together. It's okay. It doesn't matter how you become happy, but just to make sure you become happy. You have the right to become happy. You have the right to become happy. If you want to know the goals of life, is to become happy. Whatever you do, does that make you happy? If it doesn't make you happy, you're on the wrong track. Something's off. You gotta be happy. Everything gotta make you happy. Everything. There is a gentleman, may God give him the longest life ever. He's aging. I don't want to say his age. And he's one of my... He called himself my student. He called himself, friend. But I look at him like a mentor, as much as I teach him for many years, for 20 years. But for me, is to look at him is like the way he deals with life is a mentor. The reason he's like a mentor is because the way he lived his life, you know, he had about 4 heart surgery. He had 3 or 2 times cancer. Stent, everything, like whatever you can imagine. And the way he lived his life, if you go with him to the hospital where the nurses take care of him, he make everybody laugh. You know, he took care of the cancer in New York and in Florida and in Germany. He meet people, you fall in love with them. You don't feel that you are there to take care of him. You feel he's taking care of you. There's not a lot of human being like this. I had the privilege. And may God give me more years of privilege to listen to him and to be with him And he's a man that encouraged me to do a lot of things that I'm doing now. He did a lot of things in his life. But the reason I mention his name is because it's an attitude, how you take care of your life, you know? And they're both, I have to say, they are old. I mean, they're above, almost close to 90. And they're a couple. So the way, I have to say, the way he always said to me, when I go to sleep, sometimes my wife wake me up, panic. She just want to make sure I'm still alive. It's funny, it's cute the way you say it, but it's funny, you know, it's just funny. But that's the way you look at life, you know, that's why I love him so much. There's not a lot of people like this. This guy is like close to death like 20 times, and he has so many problems in his life. My God. But everything is like no big deal. It's not a big deal. And he has a lot of bad things happen to him. It should be a big deal. No? So when they draw his blood, he starts talking to the nurse. So what are you doing with your life after that? Are you going to be here for the rest of your life? Let me talk to you about something. You know, when I was giving the sermon on Shabbat, when I used to give the lecture, he used to come, and people didn't like him in the beginning because he used to come to, there's 300 people, and he come to the microphone. Okay, get off the stage. You're doing a terrible job. Let me give the lecture. And people used to take him like in a bad way, but he's not, that's it. You know, that's his specialty. That's how we become friends. He was shocked. He said, didn't bother you? I said, no. You're a funny dude. You're like an amazing human being. And may God, I just pray every day that God give him a longer life. I don't know if it's for him or for me, you know, because I just want this guy to live forever. You know what I'm saying? I just need him to live forever. I cannot be disappointed in that, you know? So the reason I mention it, because it's a four phases, four level of desire. So he made it in his life. I mean, he is super wealthy and all this and that, but that's not his thing. His thing is to guide people, to find people and guide them and make fulfill of when he does that. And when he's not making it, that's when he gets disappointed. That's when he, like, what can I do more to help? You know, it's very beautiful. And the reason I mention it to you, what is your goal? What is your desire? What do you want from your life? What do you want? To be recognized, to be accepted, which is an addiction of all humanity. People want to be accepted. Everybody wants to be accepted. Want to be accepted. Why you want to be accepted? You and the part about your life that you want people to accept is the part that you don't want to accept. You want people to like the part about you that you don't like. So we want to be accepted on the area that we didn't accept yet, right? So you want people to compliment you on the area where you are lacking something, in the area that the light didn't go in yet. So I want the people to replace the light that's supposed to come into my life. Because the bottom line of where that accepted things come from, we want to be accepted by God, by the light. We want to know that God loves us. We want to know that God is there for us. We want to know all of those things that mean we've been accepted by above. So I did a video today on Rosh Hashanah. I started doing like a few hours of Rosh Hashanah. And one of the things that I'm reading, I read it 1,000 times, but this time I actually, you know, sometimes you read, but you're listening. Wow. And it's written there when you blow the shofar, when you blow the horn Rosh Hashanah, is one of the major reasons is to wake up the love within you to know that God loves you. Simple. I said, wow, I read it 1,000 times. How come I skipped the 3 words? To know that God loves you. So, because God loves you in Rosh Hashanah, and he want to make sure you're making it. Because Rosh Hashanah is all about, you know, you're going to make it, you're going to stay alive, you're not going to stay alive. That's the danger. So, God want to make sure to blow you the shofar, wake yourself up, and I said that God loves you. And because of that, you definitely going to pass. I will do one more section and then I'm going to give you something about Joseph, because Joseph is tonight, is the anniversary. So I want to tell you how to connect to it as well. So, קודם מדל התולבות על היה אסוף הוא אחד ושבו אחד. Before those 4 worlds we're talking about, the אסוף was he and his name is one. And with absolutely unity, a mystical unity and secret unity that we cannot fully understand, by the way. Even those angels that closer to God and to the endless, will not have an understanding how exactly it works. So E and his name are one is an axiom that cannot be clear to people. כן שום שכל נברא שיוכל להשיגו להיות כי אין לו מקום ולא גבול ולא שם. No brain, no capability will be to fully understand what the creator is really all about. And it says, after the world, Rav Ashlag, was created, the angels that are closer to the spirituality, they cannot reach the concept of the endless. Why? קביעות שם באין סוף ברוך הוא סודו שמו אחד, אין מקום בכלי נקרים שם כל עיקר כמו שנאמר לאל. When you get to that level, before the צמצום, there is no light, there is no vessel. Everything is just one. לפרח אין שכל נברא יכול להשיגו, כי אין השגה באור בלי כלי. And there is no brain who can capture it, meaning there is no vessel or container that can understand it, because wherever there is no vessel, then you cannot capture it. What do we capture? We capture the size of the table, the form, the texture, everything. We can capture it because we have tools to capture it. Those tools called container. Those tools called vessels. Without vessel, we cannot capture whatever is going on around us. By the way, from next week, we are already in this chapter in Hestaklut Pnimit, so it's a good chance to repeat everything we did so far. Hestaklut Pnimit is repeating everything from scratch. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. So what I'm going to do now in the next 15 minutes, I'm going to talk to you about Yosef. I'm going to light a candle for his soul, Yosef HaTzadik, Yosef Ben Yaakov. What does Yosef represent? Truly, when we talk about Yosef, and why did he have to pass away in these 3 weeks? These 3 weeks is all about human dignity, about respecting one another. The 3 weeks. And it's difficult sometimes to respect people. Difficult. Why is it difficult to respect people? Because some people harm you, some people didn't behave nice to you. We have all the right reason why not to be nice. But we need to find the reason to be nice. Joseph, when we talk about Joseph, we're talking about a person that after he was thrown to the pit, slavery, everything, he still found a way to be kind to his brother. He would still find a way how to be good, even when his master's wife tried to seduce him. He found a way not to do it with her, not to go to make love to her. He just found a way to get out of it so he will be respectful to his master. What is that? I mean, what can we learn from that? Because he left this world tonight and we can capture that. We know that the Sefirot, when we talk about Sefirot, like we talk tonight, Yosef is exactly in Yesod, which means the Sefirot start in Keter, Chochmah Bina, Chesed Gvura Tiferet, Netzach Od Yesod, that's where Yosef is. So it's the ninth Sefira, just before the Malchut. So between Yesod and Malchut, basically, there is Yosef. Yosef is there. And when we talk about Yosef is there, it means that the whole idea of Joseph was to make sure to be Bashpia. The Zohar said that Yaakov, before he went to see him, before Yaakov is about to die, he said, let me go see my son Joseph in Egypt. As the report came and they say, your son is ruler of everything and everybody. That's what happened to him. Why is that? How do you get to this level of Yosef? As I say in the beginning, if you're capable not to be bothered with whatever people do to you, not because of manners, because you're bigger than that, then you are Joseph. If every little person bothers you, then you're not Joseph. Don't expect to be like Joseph. To be like Joseph, you have to understand what Joseph feel like. What does it mean? Joseph mean that you're above that. It was totally injustice for the brother to throw him to the pit, to try to kill him, to send him to slavery. But what happened because of that? He became the king. He became the ruler of the world, not just of Egypt. What can we get from it? Do you have people in your life that bother you, that get on your nerve? Those people exactly is the one who will crown you to be the queen and the king. Without those people, you cannot become you cannot have the crown. The crown is not coming from people who like you. The crown is coming from the people who can't stand you. And that's why he has to leave in these 3 weeks to tell us. Why these 3 weeks? To tell us that in these 3 weeks, which is all about, unfortunately, hating one another, we want to inject love and find the good, making sure the other person feel good. Even the other person harm you, not being nice to you, so it doesn't matter. Are you capable of being kind while people not have been kind to you? If you're not capable of that, then don't expect life to treat you like Joseph. What did Joseph got? In the end, he's the rulers. What did he get as a reward by restricting his master-wife sexual relationship? What he got as a reward? To go to prison. Is that a reward? You got to be for real. With your spiritual work, you got to be for real. Whenever you do something, you got to be for real between you and yourself. It's not what people are looking. Not people accepting you or not. Am I doing what I'm doing because I know that's the right thing to be doing? If that's not my goal in life, then you're no longer applying spirituality. You're applying the basically addiction of acceptance. People accepting me or not. But once you do, what's the right thing to do? People are not thinking today, unfortunately, what the right thing to do. Joseph did. What's the right thing to do? Should I be tough on my brother? No. I'm going to make sure they have money, they have food, they have everything. But they make you suffer. That's better. I'm better than this. So are you always doing whatever is the right thing to do? Or are you doing relative whatever the right thing to do? Are you doing it because you want to be accepted in society? Or are you doing it equally to what people did to you? Revenge and all this and stupid thing. We have to grow up. We have to grow up. Because life has to offer us so much. There is so much out there. So much in there. What do we do with this? When he was in prison, he became the star of his prison. He became the one who interpreted the dream. Joseph, in prison. Every place he went, he was a star. Does that mean really he was a star? No, in his own eyes. That's the best place I can be. So what happened? That place became the best place he can be. You're walking somewhere. You're driving somewhere. It's the best thing. Somebody treat you not nice. There is a reason. Whatever it is, a coffee girls, or whatever it's a waiters, or whatever it's a driver in Uber. There is a situation there. And it's not for everybody. If you can handle all situations in life, you are Joseph. You are him. And he's giving us that gift tonight. What is Joseph in charge? He's in charge of money and sexuality. Two forces. It's all sitting in that sphere called Yesod. Now, when we read, there is the Zohar, the green Zohar. It's all about Joseph. You know, we have four Zohar that we print. One of them is green. It's for sustenance, for money. That Zohar, tonight, this is the Zohar for tonight. You know, for all the time of Joseph. The green one is for business because there is a section there for Miketz when Joseph getting out of prison. That's why we print that Zohar. So why we choose this Zohar as for money? Because as Joseph getting out of the misery of Egypt and becoming the king, that's in this Zohar. So that's why whoever carries this Zohar, every time you have a problem or you're going to court or money issue and all this, the green Zohar, to remember. Now, more about Joseph, to understand more about Joseph. Joseph has a mother named Rachel. Rachel was the first soulmate of Jacob. But whoever knows the history, Rachel was not giving to Jacob. Leah her sister was giving to Jacob. What did Rachel did? Rachel said, if I'm not going to tell my sister the secret, what we had, me and my boyfriend, I have to tell her the secret, because otherwise under the chuppah, under the canopy, she will be insulted. Jacob knew that the father of Leah and Rachel is a bad man. And he said, I think he's not going to give me you, he will give me another woman. He knew he would fool him. He was smart. So he went to Rachel and said, Rachel, under the chuppah, we're going to talk with the finger, like touching every time a different finger, and I know it's you. Because in those days they used to cover, you don't see even the bride. So Rachel said, okay. And that night they replaced the kala. They put Leah instead of Rachel. And they wouldn't tell Jacob. Now they're taking Leah into the chuppah. That's his sister. So of course he looked at the finger and she does the same thing. So you know it, now it's Rachel. Who teach her that? Rachel teach her to Leah. Why she teach her to her? She didn't want Leah to get embarrassed. What the end story, without going into details, Jacob married Leah. The morning he woke up, and it's Leah. So, my God, what's going on? And the Midrash, the story said they were twin. So, she gave birth to Reuven, the first child. Reuven didn't carry the true leadership. Joseph did. Or Yehuda. Who gave birth to Joseph? Rachel. After he married Leah, he married Rachel. When he married Rachel, the first child of Rachel is Joseph. What is that? Why am I telling you those story before? Because to get to Joseph, you have to be mother like Rachel. What is mother like Rachel? A woman who's ready to give away something that belonged to her. She knows it belonged to her. She had no doubts. That's her husband. She knew. She thought like today, yeah, I gave a good feeling and chemistry. Chemistry. She misses this. This is my soulmate. It's written. It's come with a file. There's a file coming from God and the angel. That's your soulmate. It's in the file. Give it away. God. God told you it's your soulmate. Angel came down to a soulmate. Everybody told you it's soulmate. And you're going to give it away? What, are you stupid? Whatever you're not capable to give away, normally it's not yours. Normally, it's not yours. Remember that. The reason we cannot give away something, because it's not ours. And money people cannot give away. And love people cannot give away. It's because it don't belong to them. What's the reward of Rachel? The reward of Rachel, she giving a birth to a son like Joseph. A woman who can do such a thing will have two kids. One named Joseph, one named Benjamin. Benjamin, the location in Israel that belonged to Benjamin is Jerusalem. The location. Every tribe get a location. Get a piece of land in Israel. The piece of land of Jerusalem belonged to Benjamin, also the son of Rachel. Joseph split to Ephraim and Menashe. Split to two territory. Two territory. That it's in the north, where all the tzaddikim bury. It's amazing. Once you study it and you realize what's going on, it's like shocking. Shocking. So Yosef is a manifestation, is the outcome of a woman who's capable to restrict so much. So he got this gene and DNA from his mom. He got it from his mom. His mom gave him the ability to say no to himself. The strongest person is not the person who does so much in the world. The strongest person is the person who's capable not to do what he wants to do. That's the strongest person. So, just want to pray. We're going to do maybe just a short meditation to ask Joseph, please. We're asking Joseph, Yosef HaTzadik, please guide us. Show us the way. Show us right from wrong. And the letter we're going to focus on is Yud, Vav, Samech, and Pei. That's his name. And we know that Joseph is in charge of all the war in the world, to prevent war and to start war. So we're asking Joseph the righteous, please, to prevent war and bloodshed from happening, and to start the spiritual war, which means to fight with our negativity so we can overcome it. Also to open the gate of sustenance for the people who need and money, and because it's in charge of sexuality, so it has to do with children, so make sure we stay healthy in the reproductive organs, and our children stay healthy. And we'd like to ask from Joseph to be like Joseph, so we can behave a little bit better with others who hurt us or hurt our feeling, instead of looking down on why it happened to me and how bad they are, to look at it as an opportunity to become the best from what I can become.